Last week we were in the New Testament. This morning the Old Testament. I'm going to also shift my approach to how I handle it. So just a little different this morning for me anyway. If you'd open your Bible up to the book of Jonah. I know you can't help but think about the fish, but we're not going to really talk about that. I'll get you to a chapter and everything in just a minute. Last week, I spoke of a personal positive outcome during our recent sicknesses and quarantines. A number of folks were quarantined and so on. That's all passed as far as I know. No, nobody under that kind of a situation now. But I was strengthened during that time by a passage in Romans chapter 3. So I just talked about that passage last week, and it was a blessing to me. I don't know what it was to you, but you endured it, whatever it was, if you were here. But of course, everything during that time, when not only myself and Kathy were quarantined, but many others sick. During that time, it was not all sweetness and light for me. I would be misrepresenting things if I left it stand at that. After a number of days of being sick with the China virus, and of course I contracted pneumonia at one point, and at the same time I had to watch Kathy being just as sick with the China virus, I became angry. I know it's hard to believe that I could get angry, but I got angry. I was angry at everything. Even some inanimate objects that got in my way or provided me an outlet for my anger, they felt my wrath. I slammed some dishes around. I'm proud of this. You see, I'm very proud of it. I'm not. I slammed some dishes around. I pounded on an end table at one point. I even tossed some boxes of facial tissue aside that dared to get in my way. Nothing heavy. I didn't feel good. I was weak. So I picked on Kleenex. After 2 days of intermittent outbursts, I had to face the fact that my anger was ultimately, though not overtly, directed at God. I wanted God to act on behalf of all of us who were sick and suffering. Lord, make us well. Lord, put us on the path to recovery. Why not help us? Why not help us? Of course I was wrong. The just shall live by faith, right? Yeah, I was wrong, but I was still angry. Well, when the Spirit of God brought me to my senses and to repentance, and you know, the best thing for me, I don't know how it strikes you, but I read the Bible. And when I read every morning, it works on me. But the Spirit of God brought me to repentance. And when that happened, I immediately thought, and I do mean immediately, I thought of another man who gave in to anger at God because God did not meet his expectations and he got really mad, angry. And of course, you know who I'm referring to. I'm referring to Jonah, the prophet, the Old Testament prophet. Now, if you'd like to go to chapter 3. We'll look at a couple of things here, and we'll move on to chapter 4. I've already said this, but there was a lot more to Jonah than being swallowed by a great fish. You know, that's what kids remember. It's pretty exciting for them. Once Jonah was back on land, with a little better attitude, slightly better attitude, not greatly better, slightly better attitude. God sent Jonah to the chief city of Assyria at that time. It wasn't the capital yet, but it was the chief city in Assyria, a very large and a very wicked city, and you know the name of it, Nineveh. Very bad place. In fact, very bad people. The Assyrians, as a nation, were Israel's enemy. And they were renowned for one thing especially. They, you know, their military might, sure, but they were renowned for their cruelty to defeated peoples. They were an exceptionally cruel people. And the last thing that Jonah wanted to do was to help the Assyrians in any way. But he ended up doing just that. And Jonah was enraged. Not just angry. I was angry. Jonah was enraged. Furious. Incensed. Boiling over. That's what the Hebrew text points to. God, after Jonah came out of the fish, God sent him to preach a very simple message at Nineveh. Now, some people will tell you, well, it had to be longer, it had to be this. All I can tell you is in the inspired text, it's just a sentence. So I'm going to go with that. Chapter 3, verse 4. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and here's his sermon. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was a message Jonah was glad to preach. He wanted to see Nineveh overthrown. 40 days and I'm not angry. Boom. No more Nineveh. Jonah said, man, glad to do that. If I'd have known that was my message, I wouldn't have tried to run away and spend time in a fish. But then the unthinkable happened. The Ninevites, in a fashion, repented. Verse 5, here in chapter 3. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. And when that happened, our great God, in his great mercy, did not wipe the Ninevites out, but he spared them. How far their repentance went? Probably not real far, but it was enough that God said, I'm going to spare them. Verse 10 in chapter 3. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them and did not do it. And Jonah was beside himself with anger. He loved the message. He hated their response and, of course, God giving them a pass at this time to some degree. Now, chapter 4, get a little taste of Jonah's anger because it was intense. Verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Also, I want to read verses 3 and 4. Therefore now, Jonah says, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? And then verses 6 through 11. I don't like to read this many verses together, but I think I have to. Chapter 4, verse 6. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it to come up over Jonah, because he's sitting outside the city at this time. It came up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "Better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from the left, and also much cattle?" When God's will conflicts with our will, there is always the potential for misunderstanding and for anger on our part. "I prayed, Lord, whatever resources you gave me, I used to petition you. But my will was set aside." And you know, we may find that God's will is at odds with our own in a number of areas. Our health, for example, that I recently dealt with. Financial concerns, politics, church issues, all sorts of things in life. We may have a will for something, we pray to God about it, but our will doesn't match up with God's, and you know the outcome of that. His will prevails, as it should. But that leaves us open for disappointment, misunderstanding, and even anger. A scholar by the name, his last name is Allen, he wrote, "A Jonah lurks in every Christian heart." We can all get angry at God over things. I mean, maybe you're a real passive, docile person, and you don't, but I think for most of us it's a possibility, especially when very serious things happen. That Jonah lurks in every Christian heart. Now Jonah's anger, I've already mentioned this, it sprang from the very depths of his being. He couldn't be more angry. You have to understand, he could not be more angry. I want to read verses 1, 3, and 4 again. "It displeased Jonah," chapter 4, "exceedingly." That means he's really mad. "And he was angry," verse 3, where he says, "O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And then God speaks back to him and said, "Jonah, I think you're on the wrong track, don't you?" The Hebrew text points to the fact that Jonah is burning up with anger. Actually, the idea of heat, boiling, and that's here in the Hebrew. His face was no doubt flushed with anger. He is furious with God for showing clemency to the hated Assyrians. And you know, don't get misled. That plant business, I mean, he's angry at it, but his real anger is at God for not destroying the Assyrians. That's the real thing. He would have been angry no matter what else God did. The prophet, you know, we talk about people being hot under the collar. Jonah was not only hot under the collar, he was on fire from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. That's why he says, "Take my life. Just get it over with. You've just used me. You've just used me to spare the Assyrians. The last thing in the world I would ever have wanted to do." I can imagine, now I'm just saying I imagine, Jonah wishing he was back in the fish. Because he hadn't done it at that point. Of course, you can't help but see that Jonah is using his life as a bargaining chip, which is very human, but also very wrong. Maybe you can relate to doing this kind of thing. Something has happened that affects you negatively and deeply. Something God could have prevented, but He didn't. Like the recent illnesses. Whatever it was, you were hurt and angry and disappointed with God. And so you ask God like Jonah, let's get it over with. Take my life. I don't want to live anymore. Jonah prayed, put it in more common terms. Jonah prayed, Lord, if you pardon the Ninevites, could it please be over my dead body? That's really what he prayed. I can't bear the thought. And I can't bear the idea I was part of this. In verse 4, what God does, and I've read that a couple of times, why do you do well to be angry? In verse 4, God asks Jonah if he thinks he is responding in the right way. Now, at this point, Jonah doesn't answer. God said, Jonah, do you think your attitude and your response here to what I've done is the right attitude, the right response? Jonah doesn't answer. Says nothing. Nothing's recorded. And you know why? You know why? When we are angry at God, for whatever reason, we know we're wrong. And the last thing we want to do is explain ourselves. That's the last thing. During my two, I'll call them anger days, I weren't angry all day. And of course I slept, you know. During my 2 days, I was in no mood to clarify or disclose my innermost thoughts and feelings. Kathy asked me at one point about some of that. And I just said, I'm angry at everything. I didn't want to think about it. I knew it was wrong. I hadn't repented at that point, but I knew it was wrong. Well, anyway, Jonah... God said, Jonah, is this the right thing to be doing? Jonah won't answer. He knows it's not the right thing. But what Jonah does is he goes outside the city of Nineveh, finds himself a good high place to watch over the city, hoping God will change his mind and destroy it after all. Verse 5, Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Here's what Jonah seems to be thinking. Maybe if I sit here long enough, God, who seems recently to have gone soft on sin, maybe God will drop the hammer on those wretched Ninevites. I think I'll sit here a while. Maybe it'll happen. You know, sometimes we are resistant to God's will. Now, again, if you aren't, I'm happy for you. But those of us that are on occasion a bit resistant to some things that God could have prevented or just things that God allows, our stubborn resistance to God's will may bring us some sinful satisfaction. I mean, there is some satisfaction in, you know, tossing dishes around or smashing a Kleenex box. But it does not impress our Lord in the least. And all that Jonah got out of his vigil outside the city, all that he got out of that was more sun than was good for him. That's all he got. Verse 8. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah, so that he was faint. Sun was getting the best of him. And he asked again that he might die. Better to die than to live. when the target of your anger is God, you have no one to hurt but yourself. I like the way Philip Carey put it, another writer. Anger at God is inherently suicidal. You're angry at God. You can't hurt him. That leaves you. And people that get really angry at God, they often want to die, or they say they want to die. I would add, it's not only inherently suicidal to be angry at God. I would add, without a doubt, it is inherently sinful. It is. I repented because I had sinned. I didn't repent. If I hadn't sinned, I wouldn't have repented. Well, after God asked Jonah in verse 8 if he does well a second time, this time Jonah decides to respond in verse 9. But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." Basically, what Jonah says is, "You bet I got a right to be angry." That's really what he says. He's that angry. He's that furious at what God has done. Jonah's already made it clear to God, "I should not have had to see this. I should not have had to be part of this." By the way, these are the last recorded words of Jonah. This is how he bows out of this book. "You bet I'm right to be angry." There is another passage that I won't turn to this morning. I think it's in 2 Kings, where Jonah seems to have changed his attitude, presuming that came later, where he did soften up a little eventually. But right now, he's not soft, and he's not having it. So the curtain closes with a final question from God to the prophet, verse 11. "And should not I pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from the left, and also much cattle?" The NLT, although it's more of an interpretation than a translation, I still like the way it puts it. The NLT has, "There are more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness." That's, you know, they don't know their left hand from their right. Or for the old Navy people, they don't know port from starboard. How about that? The Assyrians were a wicked and cruel people, but they were nonetheless made in the image of God, as are all humans. Those wretched Ninevites, still they were made in the image of God. They were human beings. As are the Taliban murderers. As are the heartless communist Chinese. As are the Nigerian Muslims who kidnap and murder even children. As are the CRT pro-abortion liberals in America. As are violent members of Antifa and BLM. All of them made in the image of God, just like you and me. And God says to Jonah, "There's 120,000 people in that city, and they're all made in my image. And there's been some degree of repentance. I don't think it was real great, but it was enough that God spared them at this time." And God said, "I'm not in a hurry to wipe them out, Jonah." You know something Jonah seems to have forgotten in his anger? And that was that God had forgiven Israel, his people. God had forgiven them so many times of so many things. That seems to have escaped his mind. there are a lot of very bad people in our world that I would call judgment down on. But I must also at the same time not forget that I myself am a sinner, made in the image of God, like the one I would call judgment down on. And that my only hope is that God has shown me mercy in Jesus Christ, His Son. That's my hope. And a sure hope it is. In fact, I want to read a solitary verse from the New Testament. If you have time to turn there, it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read just that verse, because I want to always remember that I am a sinner who is forgiven because I have a Savior. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So even while I'm angry, and I think I have reason to be angry at a lot of people in this world who do a lot of very, very bad things, I don't want to forget what I am. And I don't want to forget that God does not confine His love just to those who are like us. And God does something that modern readers might find a little strange. He refers to animals, cattle. God even appeals to the prophet concerning the animals in Nineveh. They would, if he destroyed the city, they would die also. Basically, what God is saying is, if you don't care for the people, Jonah, and he doesn't, what about the animals? They haven't done anything wrong. You know, I've known people. In fact, when I was in the military, there was a lieutenant. Actually, he had left just before I got there. We had a new guy. But the fellows told me, the lieutenant that left, they said basically they would rather be his dog than one of the men that worked for him, because he loved animals. He wasn't much on people. God said, "Jonah, if you don't care for the people who are made in the same image that you are, what about the animals, Jonah? Do you have any sympathy for them?" Nope. Jonah's unmoved. He's unmoved. This book ends with a question from God that goes unanswered, which means it's left for you and me to answer. Verse 11. That's what we're talking about. "Shouldn't I spare the Ninevites, Jonah? The animals?" Jonah doesn't answer. That means, again, you and I can answer it for ourselves. And it comes down to this. Will we trust God and live by faith or not? I think that's a question we ask ourselves, or if we're honest, we should ask ourselves regularly. Because life deals us difficult circumstances often. Am I going to trust God, live by faith, or am I not? Am I going to get angry? Maybe angry at God. And of course, you folks know this as New Testament people. Everything goes back to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died to pay our sin debt. Are we going to have Christ or not? That's really the ultimate question. I'm done. Let's pray. Thank you.